EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There's 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There's 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello everyone and welcome wherever you are joining us from tonight. I hope you're all having a good week. The first of two guests this episode is Sean from County Durham in the UK, sharing a couple of his sightings of cigar and saucer-shaped UFOs. And then we're going to fly over the pond to hear from Jared about some of his experiences growing up in Florida, including a fireball that returned nightly for 3 consecutive days. But first of all, a big thank you to Nicola and Steve for supporting the show on Patreon this week, as it really helps the show to stay afloat. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Welcome, Sean, to the show.
Hi, Nick. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you on, man. Call in from the UK tonight.
Yeah, that's great. I'm in the northeast.
Great stuff. Okay, Sean, you have some UFO encounters to share with us tonight. Would you like to start the very first, please, Sean?
Yeah, well, the first encounter was when I think I was about 19. With a group of friends, it was in the summer, we were driving. I think it was near Bournemouth, in a place called I think it was Herne Airport, and we got stuck in a bit of traffic, and I was talking to my friend in the back seat. I was on the left and he was on the right, and he was talking to me, and he just turned around and said, "What's that?" And I looked out of the window I was sat in, and because it was a bright blue sky, no clouds. It was just what you'd see in a film. It was just so like what they've nailed it in films, because it's exactly what it looked like. It was just like this smooth metal saucer. I've never really questioned the alien life before. Like, I've always been open to it. But it didn't really hit me until I got home afterwards and I thought about it. I've had a clear view of it. That's, from all of my sightings, it's the only time I've actually had a clear view of what I've seen. 1 minute it was there and it was a blink and it was gone and there's no trace of anything in the sky. It's strange. But it was nice that someone who was in the car saw it with me. So obviously I didn't really question it. Then after that, it was a few years later, I was driving to work. Above this house, there was like a cigar thing. It looked like a twig, like a skinny branch off a tree where it had no leaves on. It's just a long thing. And that was just there in the sky. Then obviously I just went to work. Then the third time was when I was walking home from a friend's house, because my father's in the military, so I've had to move around quite a bit. And this was in deep cut in Surrey. they have a few bases there. It was right by a officer's mess and a golf club. I was walking home. There wasn't that many street lights, so it was quite dark. It was in November, so it got dark pretty early. I think it was about 10 p.m. And I got to the corner of the road and I started walking down it. And I noticed a ball of light in the corner of my eye, and it was just above the trees. So it wasn't very high in the sky. And it wasn't very big, but it was like a piercing white light. Like, I've heard other viewers in Russia, they've had seen lights around it at the bottom, but all I saw when I was really close to it was just a white light, like the size of a football. Walking towards it, I was about 200 yards away from it. Then it just like imploded like into a small circle. It was like a dark blue flash with a hint of purple in it. It looked like it just opened something, then went straight through right in front of my eye. And I just froze on the spot. The strange thing was, there was someone walking towards me not too far away. I was panicking and started to like jog home a bit because I was scared. But they were walking towards me like they'd never seen anything, which I thought was unusual. Because like surely they would have seen it because they were walking towards me and it at the same time, because we were on opposite sides of it. So it's just strange that they didn't see anything. Like, and I've seen a lot of sightings through in my garden in the mornings and 2 a.m. And they just shoot around the sky like pinballs. And it's made me question me, like, shooting stars, because I've seen one shoot off and it's just, it left like it was like a line through the sky, but it wasn't straight. It had curves to it, obviously, and it was just gone. That's pretty much it, really. Just opened up a wormhole for me.
This saucer that you saw, can you give us a little bit more detail about it, please, Sean?
It wasn't very big. It was like, it's what you'd see in a film, I'd say. It was all of it looked like a silver, but it looked smooth from where I seen it. And it wasn't very, it was just a saucer, and it had like a bubble on the top of it. Like, it almost looked like a window, but it didn't at the same time. But I just assumed that's what it was. And it was just like, it was crazy feeling knowing that whatever was in that craft had a clear view of me as well. Just wish I saw what was in it. Because I was just in a parked car because we were just stuck in traffic. So we were just waiting to move forward. And it was the person who sat next to me, because we were talking to each other. He could see it out of my windows. And I turned around, had a quick look at it. And it was just gone. There was no trace of anything in the sky. It just like completely vanished. In like a blink of an eye.
What kind of distance was it from the car?
Down like a country road, so open fields with small hedges. So I was right next to the fence of the field, and it wasn't far away from us. But it looked like it was on the floor, but you could see that it wasn't. It was like, it was just above the ground, just still. There was no sound, no nothing. We tried to record it, but my phone was on like 24%, and it just died.
Yeah, it's hard to get them on these camera phones. What kind of size would you say? Give us a rough estimate.
It looked like it fit a small child in it. It didn't look like I'd be able to fit inside it. Like from the view I saw it, well, obviously, like it probably would have been bigger the closer I got. But it didn't look very big at all. It almost looked like it wasn't real. It looked like what you'd see in a film it's just weird. It was just the silver color of it was unusual. It was hard to explain. It was just looked, you could just tell it looked really, really smooth, but it just looked like a smooth, polished metal. Yeah, it wasn't very big at all. Yeah, like looking at it from the car window, because it wasn't high in the sky and it wasn't far away. It just didn't look like, it looked like if I actually got inside it, it'd be a tight fit at least. It was just crazy. Like, it was trying to think of a film what I've seen, what best is comparison.
Kind of like the old 1950s black and white type.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, they actually have nailed it on the films. It's like, they obviously know what they look like.
Yeah, I think Hollywood had a good idea.
It's like they blindly show you it. You don't. You just wouldn't expect it to be so as detailed as it is.
And how did it actually move off?
No, I didn't see anything. Like, we were still at a halt when it disappeared. It's like, one minute I was looking at it, next minute I blinked and it was there, and it was still a pure blue sky, no summer's day, no clouds, and it was just nothing. I've seen a couple in the sky as well shoot around a bit, then it almost dissolved. Like, they just got smaller and smaller and smaller until there was nothing there. They're just like dots in the sky. One minute it's moving, it's like vibrating in a small circle, next minute it's on, you have to turn around to have a look at it. It's just crazy how it often just shoots around like a pinball. But the one with the blue flash, I'm sure that whatever it was, they would have anticipated me coming because I was not far away.
The ball of light.
Yeah, because it was coming out of a cut road where I was walking towards, and obviously it, like, there was no leaves on the trees and it was just above them. So it was coming out of my left-hand side and I was walking towards it because it was coming into my direction. And when it was in front of me, it was just the flash scared me because I couldn't, obviously my mind couldn't explain it. Like at first I could have ruled it off as a drone or something like that, but the flash was just crazy. I just froze and started running.
Okay, so the cigar object.
Yeah, it looked like just a small tree branch. Like it didn't look like it was completely straight. It looked brown, the colour of like a tree, a stick. It's just like, do you know, like you just pull a branch or a small stick off, like, and it was just there in the sky. Then obviously I was starting to drive the opposite way. Then I couldn't see it anymore. So I don't know how long that was there for. But
was it quite high up?
Yeah, it was really high in the sky, but it was very noticeable. You couldn't miss it. Just because of the shape and the color, and it wasn't like it was just in plain sight. It wasn't hiding behind clouds. Oh, I've had another random occasion as well where I've noticed one in the sky. I've been walking home behind the clouds. It was like a light. Just felt like it was following me. And I was looking at it. Then it was like he was moving behind the clouds. But do you know, it looked like someone was shining a light at the clouds. They just light up a little smaller bit. Yeah. Then that was. But it was just that was following me because I noticed one in the sky and I was watching it for a while. Then I started walking and it was just 20 minutes later, it was still there. It was moving behind the houses and everything.
Following you.
I did have one friend who, before I seen all of this, he just randomly changed one day and was saying that he'd been abducted while he was asleep on the couch in his front room. But he generally looked terrified, like he wasn't the same person after that. He was like, I don't know, he lost all confidence and he was just like a dog would have been beaten or like flinch at anything.
Yeah, it can have some effects on people.
Yeah, I just find it all mind-blowing now and I'm really interested in all. It's great to listen to all of the stories on yours as well. Some of them are mind-blowing. I hope I'm alive the day that they actually make official contact if that day ever comes.
You will be.
Hope so, because like you said, mine, I've seen a few in the last couple of weeks just being in my garden.
Exactly.
It wasn't until my first sight and I actually thought to myself, I never actually look at the sky. And then ever since then, I always look up. But before that, when I'm walking around, I'd never focus on the sky, I'd just look in front of me.
People always say, you know, since the onset of the mobile phones, no one's looking up. People are looking up, you know, but I don't think people are probably taking as much interest as they should do, but people will soon start,
yeah.
I reckon. All right, buddy, that's great.
Okay, thanks for having me. Keep up the good work. Love your show.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate you coming on and sharing all that.
Just great to get it off my chest.
You take care of yourself, Sean.
Bye.
Take care, buddy.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Welcome to the show, Jared.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
You're more than welcome, and you're calling from Michigan.
Yes, sir.
Now, Jared, you have a couple of experiences to share with our listeners. Would you like to start on the very first one, please?
Sure. This happened in the backyard of my parents' home in my hometown, Okeechobee, Florida. It was a small town, nothing too crazy, nothing too busy. This neighborhood was not a significantly upscale neighborhood. I grew up in a single wide trailer. I was out in the backyard playing with a basketball that was for a toy set for toddlers and smaller kids. And I was 6, 7 at the time. I had an older brother who at that time Mom was pretty distant with me. We really didn't get along. It was always, when you're older, we can play type of thing. So I was always playing by myself. And I remember taking the ball to the edge of the fence line of the backyard, and there was big oak trees that grow along the fence line, and I was kind of right next to them. I remember kicking the ball just straight in the air multiple times, and in the midst of doing all that, I remember praying to some sort of God. I want to say God. I want to say it was God, but I mean, I'm not sure. I grew up a Pentecostal Christian, so at that time it was God, I guess. And I remember asking, can you help me get this ball to the clouds? Can you help me? And I remember bugging. It was more of a bugging. It wasn't an asking. It was a pestering of sorts, like a little kid asking you if you have games on your phone kind of thing. And I remember getting this feeling like this is going to be the one kind of thing. I kicked the ball up. I remember watching this thing. I mean, it rocketed. It didn't lose momentum. It didn't lose speed. It just kept climbing. It kept climbing to the point where it became this little black dot, to just something that where I couldn't see it anymore. It was very quick. It lingered in the air for some time. I don't recall exactly how long it was in the sky for, like in the clouds. But the odd thing is when it came back down, I don't really remember running to my parents or running to anybody that was inside of the house at the time. I don't remember going to them immediately and telling them what had happened. I remember being scared, and I remember almost kind of keeping it, like I knew to keep that to myself. I knew nobody would believe me at the time because I was just a kid, you know. Kids have wild imaginations. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but my parents, or my mom anyways, has always said that pretty mature for my age. So I've always been kind of responsible, always taken the responsible route. My friends call me lame, you know, that kind of stuff. Straight edge guy. I didn't have a reason to really call for anybody's attention because I was content with playing by myself for so long. It was, I don't know. It was like I was in my own world. But shortly after that, once it came back down, and I remember being scared and going to bed and then waking up. But when I woke up, I was woken up by my dad. I was naked. I only, and the weird part was the bed sheets were different. The blanket, and the odd thing about the blanket was this blanket was the blanket that it was like one of those last resort kind of blankets. It was the very itchy, uncomfortable one that was in the very back of the closet that your mom never used, you know, kind of thing. Very uncomfortable. And I believe my pillowcase was the same, but it was just so odd. But like, I remember the first question I asked my dad as soon as I woke up was, why am I naked? Did I pee the bed? Did I, you know, what happened? You know, was I sleepwalking? Like, and he was like, no. He's like, I have no clue. You know, it's still to this day couldn't explain it, but I just found it odd that it was, really close together events that I just couldn't explain. And I still to this day cannot explain. It's like, it's a question of why and, you know, how, and I don't want to call it an itch, but like, or like a, it's like this question is behind a door and I'm clawing at it. Like, I want to know. I hear about other people's experiences of, you know, seeing humanoids and other types of things, but I have no memory of seeing anything like that. The one time that my parents decided to, or my dad decided to keep us home from church, my mom went off by herself and we played football in the side lot next to our house. It was just a vacant 1 acre empty lot. Some of the neighborhood kids came and we played football, kind of like two-hand touch. You know, my dad was trying to be responsible, you know, other people's kids. He didn't want anybody getting hurt. I don't know, out of excitement after the end of the game, he spun me around. He grabbed me by my arm and spun me around. Unknowingly, my older brother was standing in the middle of the field, and my dad ended up making my face collide with the top of his head, causing the two fronts of my teeth to fold back into my gums. That was pretty pretty traumatizing. But the weird part about that is, I don't know if it was just because I had lost so much blood, but it was what I had experienced during all of that as well. It kind of essentially going to a hospital to get x-rays done, end up in this room. I mean, as a child, when you walk into a big room, it seems, you know, mountainous, the ceilings. But I mean, these walls that were, it's like it did fit in the building. Like the room itself did not fit in the building. And they were like, this is, you know, this is the room where we're doing x-rays. And we're going to take a few pictures of your mouth. But I just remember this room being super dark, cold, and nothing on the walls and nothing around me. So it was, I'm curious how all of that, like how they were able to take x-rays on my mouth. It's odd. It's just, I don't remember anything in the room. I remember there was a window in the room, but it was at, like, the positioning of it was odd. It was at the, almost towards the ceiling, like it was almost at the top of the ceiling. And I remember seeing a man standing in that window, but he had a mask on, like a surgical mask and a surgical cap. And I remember him looking through the window occasionally. The door that I had went through had a window, and my dad was peeking through occasionally. And I remember him picking me up afterwards because I was already tired. I was so tired, again, lost a lot of blood. You know, the doctor said that they couldn't do anything for me because, you know, they're not a dentist. They're like, they were a hospital. Like, best thing to do is just have him get some rest and take him to the dentist first thing in the morning. And that was the best that they could do. That was the best that my parents could do, I guess, at the time. And then, but I remember my dad picking me up, and on the way out of the hospital, and as we walked out of the room changed. The initial room that we had walked through, it was odd. It was once a hallway, and then it turned into this massive white room with a bunch of what I'm assuming nurses or students or somebody. They were all in white surgical caps and gowns. Masks, all at different tables and stations. Tables seemed to be covered in what looked to me as what I could closely refer to as alchemy bottles, kind of like tubing and things like that. But I remember on one of the tables there was a Batman car that I used to have that my parents got me a long time ago. That's the only reason I remember, because that caught my eye on the way out. It's just, it's odd that I don't remember much of my childhood, but it's just some of these key moments that are just seared and burned into my memory, and I had forgotten about them, but I had seen a video of somebody put a firecracker underneath a pot and lit it under in the middle of the street. And the pot shot up in the air and turned into this little black speck. And it triggered me a little bit. Like, I don't know. It made the hair on the back of my neck and all over my body stand. And I don't know. It's like I can go back, and it's like I'm there, Nick. It's like I'm there. It's odd. It's really odd. So I remember this happened at a new house, which was located closer to the lake, Lake Okeechobee. My parents had moved us to a newer neighborhood, a nicer neighborhood. Grew up there for a while, didn't really experience anything else. Maybe seen a few shadows here and there in the house. Parents had seen some weird stuff. But what really caught everybody's eye at once, I want to say it was June or July in 2011, and I was in my room playing video games or watching TV or something. I can't really remember. I was doing something in my room, and my brother came in my room, and he's like, "Hey, come to the living room. I wanna show you something." I was like, "Okay." So I followed him to the living room. My dad's standing at the south side of the house, looking outside of the window. He's got the blinds drawn, the curtains drawn back, and as they're looking out the backyard, there's a canal that it's like a deep ditch that separates us from the houses across from the water, and the houses that were across from the water. You know, the gaps, like the houses were fairly close to each other, but there was enough of a gap. And in between the gaps of the houses, looking at the horizon pointed towards the lake, which is pointed south side. Mind you, we're positioned north of the lake, the most northern point of the lake. And this light, it was what I would describe as like a fireball. I mean, it was just this burning red, orange, amber light that was, when I looked through the binoculars at the time, the lights and the colors, it seemed like they were turning in on themselves. Like the colors themselves were, I don't know, it was almost like they were all blended together, but not really. Almost like a lava lamp. It was odd. The light itself, it stayed there for several days, and it was there, and it would come back every night, like almost exactly at the same time between 10 and 2 in the morning, so at 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., and I would stay up and watch it. I didn't really have a camera at the time. I mean, I had a camera, an old camcorder, like a VHS camcorder, that my parents had. We didn't grow up rich, so that was the best at the time that my parents had, and it wasn't even used. I just used it to zoom in to get a clearer picture on what was going on. The light itself would like descend just below to out of sight of the horizon sometimes, and then it would come back up, but it was just this smooth glide, and it would come up to the same exact position every time. And my dad and my brother, my older brother, and I believe my younger brother witnessed it at the, I want to say my mother as well. But I also want to say I took photos and video. I'm trying to get the SD cards and the VHS tapes that I left there at my parents' house, trying to get that sent up here so I can go through all of it and see what I can find, just to kind of further back up my story. If it has any credence. But yeah, it was a wild experience because the lights themselves were just, I don't know, it just seemed like they were conscious, like they knew I was watching, because it seemed like almost at moments whenever I'd take out the camera to start recording, the light would just dim out and I'd put the camera back down and then it would turn, the light would come back up. I got the sense it was messing with me. I don't know. It felt weird. I camped out in my living room for hours, for multiple nights, around the same time every night, watching it. It would always come back to the same position. After looking at aerial view maps and Google Maps and things like that, trying to see if maybe there was a buoy rig or something, you know, something that would cause that light, but an airstrip, maybe something, nothing. There was nothing in that distance. And I estimated it to be about a mile and a half. And when I tracked it from my house with the direction that we were looking, the point ended up being about a mile and a half, which was just at the north side of the lake. So, but yeah.
How many days would you say you witnessed this fireball?
3 days. Yeah, 3 days. So at the time, I wasn't really involved with or into the whole UFO topic. Wasn't really focused on that. I was in a relationship of 5.5 years at the time in high school, so I was more focused on that than anything else. When this happened, it definitely caught my eye, and I was hooked. I was like, I couldn't explain it, and I was like, you know, I wanted to know what it was. Just something about it was just drawing me to it. Just wanting to, I don't know, capture an image, something of it. I hope there's something on those tapes or something. Like I said, I'm trying to get all that back, but it was out there for quite some time. And my dad and my brother would come, and they would see me camped out right by the window, and just walk up and, is it still there? Yeah. Yep. It's been going in and out, and it's been dropping in an altitude and going back up in altitude and fading away and slowly fading back into place. It was just odd. But I had Googled and looked up reports, but the town is so small, there's not really much going on there. So I didn't expect to see anything on there, other than one article where a gentleman had one experience at the lake around the same location, which was on the north side of the lake, where he experienced a light, but this light was coming towards him and had went over the water plant, which is right there close to the north side of the lake. So, and it had flickered and it had green and red lights and other things, and it moved unnaturally. And I didn't really dig into it too much, but that was really the only thing that I could find relating to the instance.
Was there any pattern actually in the movements of the fireball over the course of the 3 days?
Not that I could tell. Nothing that I could. So I like puzzles and things like that, and I like to think of myself as pretty good at spotting out patterns. So I didn't. I was checking for stuff like that, and nothing. It just didn't make sense. It was just like, okay, like it couldn't be a drone because it was stayed lit for hours and hours. I would say 3 hours max. At one night, and other times it would just it would do its whole descent thing and come back up and descend again, and or then it would just fade back into place and then fade out and then fade back into place. It was just it was really unpredictable. Really unpredictable.
And of course, drones don't really have much of a battery life, do they?
Right. That's what I was expecting. And again, we don't have a mall. We don't have a Best Buy. We have a Walmart, and that's it. You have to go out of town to, which is a 30-minute hour drive to get, you know, something of that class, or ordering it online, of course. But, you know, I don't see how even a drone of high expense to even be having flight time of hours and doing that kind of stuff. I don't see it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, gotcha. It sounds very similar to in Thailand. They have, you know the Mekong River?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
It's this big river which comes all the way down from China, and it then heads out
through
Vietnam and Cambodia and all around there. And they have what's called the Naga Lights, kind of similar to it, all based on myths and legends and that kind of stuff. But apparently it's been viewed in films, and it's very unusual. The Naga Lights.
Yeah, I'll find a pen and write that down. But yeah, no, that's I had never heard really of anything of the sorts. And again, this is a small town, and you know, that kind of it, or I say small and conservative. That kind of, you get funny looks when you kind of talk that way in that town. So it's kind of best to keep that kind of stuff to yourself.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And not share it with anybody, because you'll get ridiculed and kind of looked at funny. But I mean, I feel like there is a small community of people that do have open minds there. And it's just, you know, small town politics, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You actually did Google to see if there's anything very similar that's happened in that area before.
Yeah, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he wrote a book kind of, but it was within a series of books, and it was, he had recorded and wrote out his experience. I'll have to look it up, but he had experienced like a fireball light that was coming towards his direction when he was just sitting there working in his car, sitting out by the lake. So
was that on the north part of the lake as well?
Yeah. So there, on the north part, there are there's like a there's certain locks and piers and areas where people can go and park their bulls and either fish or walk the pier. Some people have gone swimming, but not many people do that anymore.
Yeah, it's a big old lake.
Yeah, it's I was looking it up. It's 35 miles in width, 30 something miles, I believe, is the width of the length of it. I can't remember exactly. It is very big. It's very it's a beautiful sight to see, for sure. It's almost like a mini ocean within Florida when you go out to the pier and just look south, and which honestly it kind of dried up a little bit where the pier is now, but there's some grass poking through and some islands forming. It's still quite a sight.
Interesting. Yeah, I just googled the lake, and yeah, there is someone had an experience there back in 1994.
Yeah, that might have been it. Yeah, it's odd. It's I feel like the lake would hold many mysteries. You know, there was a battle there, and I can't even remember the year. It was the Civil War, I believe. Lake Battle of Okeechobee, between the Miccosukee and Seminole, I believe. And it was against the Confederates. I'm honestly not sure. I'm probably butchering all that. But yeah, there was a great battle, massacre there. A lot of people lost their lives. And then there was a massive flood before the dike was built. And that also took a lot of lives. So I feel like the lake itself is a giant mystery in its own right.
Yeah, a lot of history around that area.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to check that out, actually. Interesting.
Yeah.
Like I say, sometimes in these Native American areas, you know, hence the name, it's, you know, you sometimes get, you know, myths and legends and old stories and stuff. So you never know, you know, so it's
right.
Pop up. You can usually find some interesting accounts that just seem to you just don't seem to know at school. Don't seem to pick up these things.
Right. Yeah, it's just, I feel like the information on that kind of topic is very limited in within the area. And it is also just not really talked about, just because it's unfortunate. I wish more people would talk about it and be more open to their experiences. And I also wish I knew at the time of MUFON, and I could have called and reported it and had some sort of, or even called the sheriff and had them see it for their own eyes. But I don't know. I was just so caught up in the moment.
Sure. So yeah. I mean, you can still report it even now. You can still put in a request to put the report in.
Oh, okay.
In historic ones. You know, you can do MUFON. Or you can do the National UFO Reporting Center as well.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's handy, especially if people then try and, if there's one in the future, you know, someone's had a sighting in that area, and then there's a researcher, and then he's trying to, any other kind of activity in the past, and then, you know, they put up your one, and then, you know, Rich's one from the past. So it's always handy to put a report, no matter how historic it could be.
Yeah. Yeah, it was honestly something out of my realm of what I guess I would consider norm, just because it was, I don't know, I look back on it and I was like, man, I camped out in my living room for 3 nights and watched this. I just looked out my window at this light for hours every night. And I honestly don't know what overcame me, but it was just something so drawing about it. I don't know.
And what did your family make of it? What did your parents think of it at the time?
My dad, he called it a UFO, and I think he still thinks it's a UFO. And my brother, he thinks the same as well. My little brother, he doesn't remember it. And I think my mom remembers us talking about it, but I don't think she had any sort of interest in it at the time. But yeah, it was just, it was odd. And I just remember as soon as I started watching it, everybody else kind of went off and did their own thing. But I never left, just kept watching it.
Stuck around for the duration.
Yeah. It was like, that's why I think I did record something. I know I had to have. So that's why I'm trying desperately. And I was just down there a few months ago visiting family, surprising my parents, actually. And I had meant to go through some of the stuff and bring it back up here with me, but I was too caught up in the moment visiting family. I completely forgot about it. On a side note, I did check, which honestly it was kind of, I believe it was in June or July. So I checked around the same times in my parents' living room, and because they're still living at the same house. So I went to the window and watched the same area, and nothing showed. So, but I definitely watched for quite some time just to make sure.
Just to make sure it made it, just in case it made a return.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Again, and like, I wasn't too, like, it wasn't until COVID had hit that I started listening to UFO podcasts and yours mainly. The topic itself wasn't so, like, I wasn't, oh man, I'm like looking this stuff up every day, kind of like I am now. You know, it's fascinating. It's just something different.
Well, you have good taste, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's great, Jared. Okay, Jared, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for us.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed it as well. It was nice and easy, wasn't it?
It was. It was a lot easier than I thought.
Excellent. All right. You take care, all right? Keep in contact, yep. And I'll talk to you soon, Jared, okay?
All right, Nick. Good
okay,
night.
Take care, brother. That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. You can also send me your short voice submissions there also. A very big thank you to Sean and Jared for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.